All right, page seventy-nine.
Thank you.
68, Christina does that verses for us on this one. Now, it's great for her, I put her on the spot, but I will wait a poll, but she has very timely.
When I look at the heavens, and all that even, I say, excellent is your name on the earth. I see what you have created, great wonder at the first. And say, excellent is your name in all the earth.
Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth.
When I think of your mercy, great fields of sand and fire, I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I wonder what would have caused you to put us in your plan. And say, excellent is your name in all the earth.
Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth.
When I survey my blessings, the strength of all my knees, I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I give you all my worship, I give you all my praise. And say, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh, Lord, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth.
We'll go ahead and take up our Sunday morning offering. We can have our ushers come, please. We'll do page 57. We'll go ahead and do all five verses there. If you're visiting with us, we got we got a fifth verse that we've added for many years. I don't even know what that came from.
This is our church or somewhere else. I don't even know.
But we'll figure it out. It's pretty easy. Page 57. Maybe my wife will each be 40 this year, so whatever. It's kind of weird to think of my younger sisters being in the room.
Pretty sure people maybe Miss Vivi
had their anniversary. Oh, y'all did? Okay. Let's sing a happy anniversary to Preacher Billy and Miss Vivi. I'm sorry, y'all. You got to tell me, because I tell you, even if I know something, I get up here and it just leaves. I know you experience the same thing too instead. So let's sing a happy anniversary to Preacher Billy and Miss Vivi. How many years is it? 63. Amen. 63 years of marriage. What an example. Amen. Happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
As far as announcements, we've got, we do have a fifth Sunday this month, so be praying much about that, that the Lord will guide us in what we need to do for that. Pray for the youth, as always, that the Lord will help them in the classes, and, you know, everybody make sure, that, you know, whatever ones are around you in your family, make sure to be a help to them, and let's pray for all of them as they get prepared for that. Remember our youth revival, April 16th through the 19th. I was just looking at this one on the newsletter. And you'll notice the 19th is a Saturday, so that service will be at 10 o'clock in the morning. I think, are we going to cook out again?
Yeah.
Like we did before. And that's Preacher Curtis Ponder.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, can you remind me again what his church is?
I can't remember that, but.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, but. But remember, Preacher Curtis Ponder, as he comes, that the Lord would prepare him and help him. And God's will be done in that, and we get revival. As far as any other announcements, I can't really think of anything. Am I missing something? And when is that? I was thinking about that the other day. Third Thursday, so whatever day that is. So remember that. Obviously, everybody that's here right now either remembered or figured out later about the time change, so I don't really have to announce that.
Thank God for cell phones.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Like this, we're old school. We still got clocks all over the house, so I was running around holding the ham last night setting clocks. but we got that taken care of. So we do need to come pray this morning. Who's got a request of prayer about what we can? Remember all these. I do have several special requests, and remember Christina. She is not feeling good this morning, and it's a little bit different. My mom is not feeling good. I know you know, preacher. We really appreciate Miss Stephanie being able to be back and the kids. And I know Sawyer's got to be here somewhere, but I haven't seen. Oh, there you are. I was looking right over your head. I guess I was looking in the wrong place. And I was kind of, you know, usually you're asleep, but here you are, right behind Bush and Taylor, awake with us. But we do appreciate the Lord helping our pastor and his family. I know the sickness has been giving them a hard time. And I want to thank the Lord for something he helped me with yesterday. It's one of the things that, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal, but it was a big blessing to me. I needed to do what would on paper be a small repair on Christina's van, but it's one of those things that in a lot of people's experience, it ends up being like a big hassle. Something that shouldn't be, it is. Well, it wasn't. And God really, he just made it work. And I was so grateful about that, because I was in a way I was kind of dreading it. I just want to thank the Lord for what he did for me on that. But I do continue to remember the family of my cousin Joseph that passed away. Lord willing, his funeral will be this coming Saturday. And my aunt has asked me and Dad and Alex to take part in the funeral there. And it'll just be at Valley View. I think it's going to be a small thing. But just pray for that family, because really ain't none of them been in church in a long time, you know. Dad was telling me that Joe always watched Dad's services online, so I mean that's some kind of encouragement to me, because he did have a lot of health problems. Joe didn't really get out. But do pray for the family if you would. Remember the Burns family. Their mom's his sister Kim passed away. I got all mixed up again this morning. They mentioned it Wednesday, but I don't know that family real well. I know Kim and Miles. But then Miss Sherry said Kim, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I thought I'd gotten confused in there. It was his wife, but no, it was his sister. But so pray for that family if you would. I know they're hurt this morning. I think the receiving for them, the funeral receiving is this afternoon.
It's at 2.
It's at 2. Is that, I'm assuming that's a smart stroke?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So who's preaching at the funeral? Is it Preacher Pat? But anyway, Lord knows who it is, so remember them. I know they really desire our prayers. It is good to see several back that have been sick recently that the Lord has brought back in. Brother Glenn's been out. I know Brother Matt's been out with that plantar fasciitis, if I even said that right. But just continue. You got to continue to remember that. And our pastor this morning said his foot's been hurting him. And so he was joking this morning. He said, man, I think I caught that from Matt. But I continue to remember Stephanie and the baby. And I think the preacher's going to mention her. But hurt her some. How is Derek getting better?
He's got pneumonia. Katie's got COVID pneumonia. And Lucy's got the flu.
Oh, no,
they've been sick. They're starting to get a little bit better. But Lucy is not getting better. She's still sick. She don't play 5 minutes till she just lays down. The flu has really brought her down.
Yeah, I know. We had several of ours that had flu when they were babies, and they hadn't even had no surgery. So I know it really does a number on the real little ones. And they give them that Tamiflu, and it kind of helps. And, you know, you think, Lord, that we have some medicine, but it don't, I mean, it ain't like it just cures it, you know. So definitely remember them. Remember Brother Fred, Jesse had mentioned this morning, he was trying to get his shoes on his wheelchair and kind of rolled out of it, and so he fell again. So just continue to remember them. I think you said he's still pretty well. He's doing okay, though.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, he was doing the best he'd done in 12 months, probably. And he fell when he's trying to help Braden get ready for school.
Mm-hmm.
And he fell and hit hard on his left side and messed his arm up, his shoulder.
Was it
right side? Well, whichever. Anyway, he's sewed up pretty good now. Like he's kind of going back the other direction. Just pray for him that the Lord will help him. Keep him safe.
Amen. Amen.
Don't forget to pray for Ricky Hall and his family.
Yes. Yes, amen. Brother Jesse, did you say it was today's birthday or tomorrow?
Today's his birthday. But yeah. They don't expect him to live through the week. He's 60 years old. He's got a lot of friends that's lost. We've got a lot of friends that's lost. And I know whenever all this winds up, he's going to end up somewhere. And they're going to be preaching. And I pray that message penetrates.
Yes,
amen.
Amen. I know what that's like. I've got family members. That's all the time you can get them in the church and just pray that God deals with them. You know, at that point. I continue to remember Tim Young. Ms. Candy mentioned him this morning. Did you say he's getting ready to have his port put in to get his chemo?
He's getting his port put in on Wednesday. Chemo starts on Thursday.
Okay. Amen. Just pray for to help that. It'll be effective. Ms. Brenda mentioned this morning both her children have been sick. And so both had pneumonia, didn't you say?
Yeah, Ted does great.
Surprise, that's what we was talking about in Sunday school this morning. We sit and we worry about stuff like God didn't know, you know, and like he doesn't have control of everything, but that's how we do a lot of times, you know, it's, I guess we just think I have a better sense than that, but this stuff. Yeah, amen. Amen. Remember this, remember our pastor this morning as he comes to preach, the Lord will use him and preach through him and give us what it is that we need. And as you know, I've been praying for a while now, just pray that the Lord would help us to be willing to let him make a change in us. A lot of times he desires to, we just don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, and that is so hard. That is so hard. I mean, at least it is for me. I guess it probably is for other people too, but all I know is me, you know. I wonder who else has got a request this morning.
The Reverend Charles tomorrow, he has that surgery on his nose at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock tomorrow, okay. Okay, remember this. I knew that was coming up, but I wasn't exactly sure when it was. Remember this.
Father, we're grateful to you. Thank you, Lord.
Have a vote and all this, it was a big mess. So if anybody can make a mess out of something, I can. And if God's willing to call me to this position and commit me to so, then believe you me, he's willing to use plenty of you. And so you just be willing. That's all it takes is a willingness. Just a willingness to follow God. Amen. But I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to see each and every one of you is here. We got some visitors with us again. Tell me y'all's names one more time.
Lacey and Stephen.
They was with us last Sunday, and they were needing some help, but we wasn't able to help them because they told us about the need after we was already leaving. So we'd asked them to come back Wednesday, and they did, and we was able to take up offer. We're trying to get back to West Virginia. And I'd asked them if they'd like to come, if they was able to come back and join us, but they was really trying to get home. But I did catch them just before they left and told them, hey, look, if for some reason you're still here, this weekend, you want to come join us? If you need more help, we'll try to take up offering for you again. And sure enough, does something come up? You said an alternator and a battery. They have an alternator and a battery issue with their vehicle. And so they had asked us this morning. And so at the end of service, we'll do like we normally do if somebody's needing help. We'll pass their plate. Mr. Grimm, like I said, no offense to y'all, but we, you know, I know a lot of them might be thinking we don't know these people. We don't know what they might do with it. That doesn't matter. What matters is this, is that when you give, whatever you give, whatever you're willing to give, you give it as unto the Lord. Amen. And you trust God with it. Yes. It ain't about trusting people with it. It's about trusting God with it. And like I said, you need to use your discernment, of course. And, you know, don't give what you can't afford, but if you can afford to give, it's not going to hurt you a bit. And I often use this analogy. We will try to be so careful and discerning about what we give money to and who we give money to. But we give the gospel to all people, right? Well, the Bible says that there's a sore punishment for those who take the word of God and trot it underfoot. And how many people was willing to do that to be able to give it to all people? Jesus said this. He said that we should be faithful in the little things, the earthly things, that we could be trusted with heavenly things.
Yeah.
The money that God's allowed you to use as a tool, you don't own it. You don't own anything.
Right.
God's not socialist or anything like that, but he is supreme.
That's right.
Meaning that he owns and rules all that there is to see. And that whatever we have got, we fuss about paying taxes to the government on stuff y'all might do anyway. Any of y'all fuss about paying property taxes? I think that's the biggest rip-off there was. We're going to go to war. But I'm telling you, I ain't going to get on that tangent. Here I am getting off track. Listen, but this is the point, is that the state don't own it, right? That's where I'm at. We own what we have to be.
Yeah.
Technically, God owns it all.
Yeah.
He entrusts us with it.
Yeah.
He's in control. Amen. And so just remember that as you give, like I said, give with a cheerful heart. Whatever you give, do it cheerfully. Okay? So we'll have end of service, we'll do that. Remind me. At the end of service, we'll have Preacher Matthew come up and lead us in a song. We'll pass around the altar plate one more time. We'll try to be a blessing to them. And I know that if you give, you do it because the Lord wants you to. And you do it cheerfully. And you do it because the Lord has blessed you, enabled you. God will reward you for it.
Amen.
You can't outgive God. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Thank God for loving us and being good to us and doing better for us than we deserve.
Yeah.
See if I got a special song I'm gonna sing this morning for you.
Good morning, we shall see Jesus in the air. David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he's precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say.
Amen.
How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. I love him, that's all I want to say.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Mark in chapter number 10. Mark in chapter number 10. In chapter number 10, and I want to begin reading in verse number 17. Mark chapter 10, verse number 17. The Bible says, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, kneeled to him, and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. God, that you'd help us this morning. Lord, that you'd anoint the preaching hour. God, that you would open our hearts to receive your word. May you be glorified. May you move as only you can in this service here this morning. Lord, we ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. 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 We're preaching this thought this morning. What would you be willing to trade in heaven for? What would you be willing to trade in heaven for? I sit all day and I listen to my two sons talk about trading this and that. They trade knives, they trade Legos, they trade pistols, toy pistols, guns, you know, BB guns. I mean, I can't keep up with who owns what anymore. It's so traded back and forth. Then they start wanting to trade with me, you know. And, you know, Dad, I'll give you this Lego set for this knife you got here. You know, back and forth, whatever it is, you know, they think that I might want for whatever it is I have that they do want. And, you know, they're just constantly trading. And then they decide that, you know, they don't want what they got, and they want to trade back, and they beg, and they plead, and they go back and forth. And I remember young and doing like that. Me and Robbie, back there, we used to trade pot was cars in this smaller neighborhoods. You know, I remember doing stuff like that when I was young. But in any case, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, you know, how that there's so many people out there in the world that have traded this life for eternity. Meaning that just as Jesus said, whoever will keep his life will lose it. And he said, whoever will lose it for my sake, he said, he shall keep it. And I love this life. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy this life that God has given me. Sure, these times it's tough and it's hard. It certainly doesn't feel like home since God saved me, because he's given me a promise of a better place and a better way and a better body. Amen. And I look forward to that day. Amen. But while I'm here, I've been able to enjoy great benefits of being a child of the King. Amen. When I was lost, I didn't always enjoy those things. I was poor in spirit, you might say, and I was very weak. But God, in saving me and putting the Holy Ghost in me, has done great and wonderful things for me. He's given me a wonderful wife to live out the rest of my life with. And he's given me healthy children that I love and that bring joy to me each and every day. He's given me a wonderful church family that believes the Word of God, and that we have unity together. We pray for one another. And what a blessing that is to have that in your life. He's given me a great family, and my personal family, my extended family, my in-laws, all of them. I get along with. I don't know another person that gets along with their family as good as I do. That's the truth. I can go to my mama's house. I can go to my daddy's. I can go to my sister's. I can go to my mother-in-law's, my brother-in-law's. It doesn't matter. Everybody is on the same page. Amen? We're all Baptists. We all believe in God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all voted for Trump. We ain't got nothing to argue about. Amen? It's a blessing. It is. It is. And like I said, I don't know many people that can say the same. Yeah. And I love that. I'm thankful for that. So like I said, I enjoy my life. I do. I enjoy it. But guess what? As great as it is, I ain't willing to trade it, preacher, for what God's got for me. Amen. I would never be willing to hold on to this in order to give up on that. Now, like I said, I'm saved. And I know I'm saved not because of what I've done or what I'm willing to trade or garner, but because the blood of Jesus has been applied to my sin. Yeah. It's been cleared. It's been washed away. The slate's been made clean. I've been justified in the eyes of God. But nevertheless, there was a time whenever I had so little down here, but I was willing and wanted to hold on to that and miss out on heaven. There was a time in my life when I was so, and you know what, I thank God that I was so broke and at the rock bottom as I was, because just like he said there that, you know, in this story he tells the disciples there, he says that, you know, how hard it is for a rich man to go to heaven. He said it's harder to take a camel through the eye of the needle. You know, there's different people that's had different ideas. We get this one, it's something that's near impossible to do.
Yeah.
Some suppose that the word camel is a mistranslation, and they're talking about a cord, or what you might call a rope, and the only way to get it through the needle is to tear it apart and to put it through just one single strand by another. And he says that's the same way your life has to be. You have to pull all those strands apart, and you have to just give up on the whole of it. Another one said that it was likened to a passageway that was there in the land of Israel, and that the only way to get through it is very narrow and very straight. It was almost small in the way that the rocks would come down and come over like this to go through this canyon, and they called it the eye of the needle. And the only way to get a camel through there was to unload it and to get the packs that were on it off of it, and to cause it to get down on its knees and crawl. And that's the only way to get it through there. And he's saying that the only way to come to heaven would be to unload and to get rid of our earthly possession. Not necessarily in the sense that we would give it all up. Maybe, you know, the Lord asked this rich young man to do just that, right? But he says, he goes on and clarifies, we're going to get there in a minute, but right now I'm talking about the eye of the needle. But either which way, it doesn't matter which one that they're talking about. The point is this, it's something that we would see as impossible, right? Because he goes on to clarify, he said, it seems impossible with man. He said, but not with God, for with God all things are possible, right? And so he's making the point to say, yes, he says, I'm meaning something that is impossible. I don't believe the whole thing about the passageway with the camel and all that. You know, I'm telling you why, because it's still possible.
Yeah.
It's still possible with man.
Yeah.
That's why I don't believe it. I believe that he literally meant that taking a camel and putting it through the eye of the needle. I think that's what he meant. And he said that I really believe that.
Yeah.
You know why I believe that? Because it's impossible. Amen. Amen. Guess what? God could do it. Amen.
Yeah.
He could do it. But in any case, let me put it to you this way. This rich young ruler here, this man that says comes to him, don't tell us, first of all, that he's got riches. But Jesus said that he went away sorrowful when he was given that proposition. That he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. And over in the book of Matthew, in chapter number 19, let me turn over there real quick. Tells the same story. Just use some different words. Gives us a little bit of a different point of view here. But Matthew, in chapter number 19, it says this. It says this about it. That whenever he'd asked him, he said, why callest thou me good? He said, there's none good but God. He said, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? He asked him, you know, in this instance, it says that the young ruler asked him there in verse number 18, which? And it says, and Jesus said unto him, after he had asked which, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. It says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That's when Jesus goes on to give this solemn warning about the camel and the eye of the needle that we all remember, this impossible feat. You know, like I said, I'm glad that I had, didn't have no more. I was at rock bottom when God saved me. I was living a life of sin. It was very evident to me that my life was headed to hell. It was very evident to me that the life I was leading was not taking me to heaven. It was very evident to me that that was not God's design for my life. But yet I still wanted to hold on to that. I wanted to hold on to living this life of perverseness and addiction and everything that destroyed me. And it caused me great conflict within my mind, within my heart, within my body. It wasn't doing me a bit of good. I was an addict. I was going and living paycheck to paycheck. I was spending everything I had on my addictions. And I was not having anything to show for it. And if I could get the chance, and I could, I would work extra or do whatever it took. I hadn't yet got to the point of stealing, but I'm sure that was probably the next thing to come in line, because this is the problem. My income wasn't growing, but my addiction was. And at that point is whenever the Lord come in and began to do things in my heart, and that's when he saved me. But I'm glad that that's where I was at. And you say, well, are you glad that you... No, I'm not. If you could, listen, young people, if God would save you and you would follow God, I'd pray that you'd be obedient the rest of your life, and that you'd have a great testimony. And then any time the devil come and try to taunt you or bother you, I pray that you'd just rub his nose in it and say, hey, look, I know I ain't right, and I know I'm a sinner, and God sees it, and he knows I ain't perfect, but guess what? I ain't never went down that road. And you can remind him of that, amen. What a blessing that is. If you could grow up, young people, and live a life that you never fornicated, and that you have practiced abstinence, and you have reserved yourself for marriage as God intended, then praise be to God, hold a testimony. And the young people, let me tell you, if you could go and the rest of your life and never take a sip of alcohol, if you could go the rest of your life and you could never even start on any kind of drugs or anything like that, and let me tell you how they'll get you. You'll hurt your knee or your elbow or your shoulder, and they'll take you to a hospital, and you'll need help, and they'll say, well, this is what we're giving you. Be careful. My recommendation is don't take it. Tough it out.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation. You know why? Because I've been there. Amen. I've been through it. And sometimes you can't tough it out. That's a fact. You're going to know the difference between being able to and not being able to. Trust me. It's going to come down to, well, I want a little bit of relief, or I want to die because you're hurting so bad. I mean, if you're hurting bad enough, you listen to me carefully, you make sure you set you up some sort of accountability.
Yes, yes.
Mom or dad, you make sure that you're counting things every single day. I'm not kidding you. If you got to, sit down and count them together. Have more than one accountability partner, because I'm going to tell you what, that stuff they give you is nothing but synthetic heroin.
Yes.
The same people that's out here, that's on the street, that's addicted to that mess right now. Hey, I promise you, the ones that's dying and the ones that's just living in the street because they're just so consumed by that drug, it'll do that to you.
Yes.
Will do that to you.
Yes.
And so I'm telling you, be careful, is what I'm telling you. But I'm glad that God in his sovereignty and in his providence, even though I was living that kind of life in that state, I'm glad that's where I was, because I find that myself now, that all that I have from that time forward is what God's brought into my life. Every good and perfect gift comes down above from the Father of lights. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God gave me my wife. I believe God gave me them children. Amen. I believe God gave me this church. Every good gift. Amen. I believe God gave us Ruger firearms. Amen. And cold steel knives. Hallelujah. Deer stands. Land to hunt on. What a blessing. Every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father. I say, it's all right to be thankful for things, right?
Yeah.
But this is the problem. Sometimes things can mean more to us than the one that provided.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
That's when them things become a problem. Now, notice this, that whenever he comes to him and he tells him this, he says, do not do these things, X, Y, Z, he names about six or seven commandments. And he says there, he says he answered to him and said, I've observed all these from my youth. And it says in verse 21 of Mark chapter 10, it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He said that he looked at him and he loved him. Now imagine, now stay with me here for a second. This is the omniscient God. He has all knowledge. He knows that this old boy is going to turn and walk away. And he's trading in his riches and his wealth for God's kingdom. But nevertheless, he said that he loved him. And he tried everything he could to reach him. And he said, hey, listen, he says, there's a lot of folks that's got a good affinity for God. He said, but he come, and let me back up here and say this. It said in verse 17, when he came the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. Hey, how many people you see running to Jesus, falling down their knees today?
Right.
I don't see that often, do you?
No.
No, I don't see that very often. But it says that this young man came running and kneeled down at the feet of Jesus. And he said, Master. And so we see that he had a reverence for Jesus. Now Jesus tries to get him, first of all, to understand this. He says, why you call me good? He said, there's none good but God. He said, good master. Hey, listen, there's a lot of folks out there that master, he's meaning teacher. That's what he's talking about.
Right.
There's a lot of folks out there today that think that Jesus was a good teacher. Amen? Yeah. There's a lot of folks out there today that think that Jesus was a good sermon giver, somebody that would encourage people and lift them up, and you know, they paint this picture of this hippie Jesus that's all about just loving one another. The worst sin you can do is to judge somebody, and so on and so forth. But they ignore the weightier matters of the law. They ignore all those things, fornication and adultery and greed and thievery and murder and all them things, as if they're nothing. And they overlook them. But this young man, it says that he come, he ran to Jesus, and he kneeled down at him, and he said, good master. Jesus, first of all, says, why are you calling me good? He says, no good but God. Jesus says, I need you to recognize that I'm not just a teacher. I need you to recognize I'm not just a man, I'm more than a man.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen? And that's my prayer for everyone here today. Is that you recognize that Jesus is certainly more than a man. He's certainly more than a figurehead. He was the precious Son of God.
Amen.
He came into this world to save sinners. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad of that, that's what he came for. And that's where I was at, was in sin, when God came and saved me. He goes on to tell him this. He says, well, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How many people today is asking that question? I wonder how many people's coming to church and that question's on their heart, on the back of their mind. What must I do? What can I trade for eternal life? What do I have to offer to trade for eternal life? Jesus goes on and he says, well, he says, you know, first of all, keep all the commandments. And he says, I've done all these from my youth. You know what? I bet that he had. If I was a betting man, I'd place a good wager that he hadn't. I'd place a good wager that old boy's lying.
Yeah.
I believe he just broke the commandments and said, I have for my youth. He bared false witness about himself. He's lying is what he's doing. But nevertheless, Jesus goes on, he entertains it. How many times have people ever come to you, you know, you try to tell them to come to church, or you try to tell them to, you know, read their Bible, or, oh, I do. You know they're lying. You ever do that? I do that. You know, it's funny, you know, people, you know, because we're Christians and because we're just polite and we're not just going to point a finger in their face and say, you liar. They think that we're gold and we're dumb. We're not dumb, are we? We know they're lying, but you know what? We keep on, we keep being kind and we keep giving the truth anyway. Praise God.
Amen.
What other kind of people can do that besides God's people? But you meet people like that, and they lie. They think you're fooling you. That just makes them mad, dog. They think you're so dumb, you know. But it's okay. We can endure.
Yeah.
Jesus did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Amen.
He didn't get all mad and say, you liar. You know better than this. He could have told him every sin that he ever done.
Yeah.
He could have told him every sin he ever thought. But he didn't. He said, well, how about this then? He said, sell all you have and come and follow me. pick up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
He says, get rid of everything, if that's the case. Because see, that's what it costs to follow him. To give up everything you have. You say, well, preacher, I don't have to give up everything I've gained. If you're his, you have to. Not necessarily, you might not have had to literally take your possessions, post them on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace and sell everything, and then take it and give it to poor people like me. But what you did do is you had to completely surrender it and say, you know what, it's all God's.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And I'm just his steward. If you're following him, that's what you had to do. And if you're following him, then that's something you're still struggling to keep that in perspective.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And so even as a Christian, we read this, and even, you know, if somebody's not a believer, I would pray that the message would be to them this morning that it's time to make that exchange, to give your life so that you can keep it. Amen? So that you may gain eternal life. If you try to keep your life, you will lose it. Amen?
Yes, amen.
The Bible says that he loved him when he looked upon him, and it said that he told him, he said, what must I do? And it says that whenever he said unto him, he said, I've observed all these from my youth. Instead of getting mad at him, instead of getting upset with him and saying, you liar, said he looked upon him and he loved him. Yeah. And he said, I want more from you. I want better for you. And he says, listen, the point is this, is that you can give all that you have. You can trade everything that there was, but still ain't enough. Amen. Right. It takes the precious blood of Jesus Christ in order for a sinner to be saved. There's no other payment that is accepted by God. And amen. Guess what? The payment has been made. It's been made for me. It was made for you on the cross of Calvary. Hey, I believe that that blood payment was made for Hitler. I believe that that blood payment was made for Nero. I believe that that blood payment was made for all the wicked people that's locked up all over the world. I believe it was paid for the Muslims. I believe it was paid for the pagans and the atheists. Amen. That precious blood was paid for me when I was a sinner. And that's the only payment God would accept. And he done it on my part.
Amen.
And on your part.
Amen.
That we can be saved. And all I had to do was accept. You know what? When I did, when I realized what he had given me and what he had done for me, every little bit of thing that I had in this life down here sure didn't look like much tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, preacher? It didn't look like much tomorrow. Before, when I seen this life and this was all I had, even though it was so small and it was so broken and it was such a pitiful state that I was in, that was all I had. And I wanted to hold on to it and I wanted to keep it. When God saved me and he showed me what he had prepared me, when he showed me where I was going, I look back and where I've come from, it just didn't look like much no more. Any of y'all ever heard that book, The Pilgrim's Progress?
Mm-hmm.
John Bunyan. You ever seen a little movie? I like movies. I hate reading. I'm lazy like that. Still never read The Lord of the Rings. Preacher told me about that. But I watch the movies at least once every couple of years. Very interesting stuff. But The Pilgrim's Progress, it's about a man, his name is Christian, and what's the city's name, is it?
Destruction.
He lives in a city named Destruction. And evangelist comes and he tells him about, what's it called?
The
Celestial City, heaven. And the king is there, you know, and he's got to get there. So he, you know, nobody wants to believe. Everybody's like, why would you want to leave? You know what I mean? This place is desolate. You want to watch the movie, it gives you a visual. It's desolate. It's just dark and dingy and just looks like some ghetto somewhere, you know, that nobody would want to be there. Nobody would want to be there. And you think, well, what do you mean? But everybody there is just astonished that he wants to leave. Why would you want to leave? Why would you want to give up all that you have here? And he's got this horrible job. I mean, it's just the most demeaning things that you could think of. And life is not good. But yet everybody there is just like, why would anybody leave this? But he don't got his mind on that anymore. He's got his mind on that celestial city.
Yeah.
He's seeing heaven, amen? And when God saved me, when God began to do a work in my heart, that's what he showed me, was he showed me heaven. And like I said, from then on, my life has got a lot better here than it was. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. But guess what? I still wouldn't trade it, amen, for what God's got prepared for me.
Amen.
He goes on to say this. He says, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Verse 23. In verse 24, he says this. The disciples were astonished at his words. Jesus answereth again and said to them, so he clarifies here. First of all, says this. He says, how hard it is that they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. But then he clarifies this in verse 25. I'm sorry, verse 24. He says, children, how hard it is for the young that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. So he clarifies that it's not necessarily the problem of having things.
Right.
And by the way, when I'm talking about riches, don't get your mind over on Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. Compared to most people in this day and time, we're all rich here.
Okay? Yes.
I'm talking about you.
Yes.
I'm talking about me. I'm talking about us as a collective.
Yes.
You say, well, Richard, you don't know what kind of struggles I got in this, and you got a lot better than most people in the world today.
Yes.
All right? Yes. I'm talking about us. We're all included, this rich people that it's talking about, okay?
Yeah.
He says this. Do you know that a homeless person in America most likely has it better than like 60% of the world's population?
Yeah.
Is that not crazy to think about?
Yeah.
Going back to this, he says here how hard it is for them to trust in riches, to enter the kingdom of God. The problem is not having things, it's trusting in them.
Amen.
I can have all the guns and ammo I need to start a war, but that can't do what my trust is at.
Right.
Amen.
Matter of fact, God gets really upset whenever we put trust, if we put our security, our trust, our security in things rather than him. You remember when David took the census of the people? That was the issue at hand.
Yeah.
Is that David trusted his armies, he trusted his kingdom,
he
trusted his wealth. And God sent an angel and it was destroying him.
Yeah.
And he had to then go and Camber, you okay, honey? Huh? Okay, well, he's making a really distressed face, and it probably me. I'm sorry, I'm a little partial, but my own. I can see these other kids being like, you know, making all these crazy faces. I'm like, I'm no mom and dad here, I'm not dealing with that. But he's one of mine, you know. I'm sorry, squirrel, I get distracted. But the problem is whenever we trust in things.
Yeah.
David trusted in his armies, his riches, God punished him for it. In our own lives, we go through a lot of difficulties when we trust in things other than God.
Amen.
We was talking a little bit about this in the other story this morning. Brother Dan mentioned this, you know, it seems like the more things we have, the more stress we have, the more problems you got. You know, you get a house, you got to worry about keeping it up, mowing the yard, and keeping the flowers and the hedges trimmed, and making sure the roof's in good working order, and there's no leaks, and you know, and all this. And you got to pay the taxes, the homeowner's insurance, and so on and so forth. If you got more than one vehicle, you got more than one problem. I don't care if it's got a bow tie or oval or what it's got on the front of it.
Yeah.
You got more than one problem.
Yeah.
More than one thing to keep up. You know, the thing about if you like to collect guns and knives, you got to go through them from time to time to oil them or they rust. The more of them you got, the more at work that is. So then you just start getting rid of them because you're like, this is too much work. And, you know, it ain't fun to work when it's like that. Like I said, that's true. You know, I mean, we think about that. The more things that we have, the more worries it causes us. But yet, the more God we have, the less stress, the less worry.
Yes.
But yet, we tend to want to put so much investment of our time, our money, and our resources into worldly things. There's nothing wrong with worldly things as long as they're, you know, what you might say in moderation, as long as they're coming in second place.
Yeah, that.
But whenever we're putting God second or third or fourth to everything else. What good is those things? Are they doing any good? No. Are they bringing any peace, any joy? No. Absolutely not. And so that's why Jesus says, give it up.
Yeah.
Turn it over to Him. Yeah. That's why He says it's so hard for somebody to trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Because it takes trust in Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. I want to ask you this morning, if God has saved you by His marvelous grace this morning, and He's working in your life, and He's giving you the promise of eternity in heaven, and it's something that you know that He's guaranteed you, but you still struggle with having the perspective to say, you know what, everything that I see and can own is His, that I am just a steward. You still have the struggle of keeping the perspective of being able to say that it's all His and letting go and not clinging to this life and the things in it. If you find that this life and the things that are in your life are ruling your life rather than the Word of God and His Spirit ruling in your life, I'd invite you to come this morning and ask God to forgive us and to strengthen us and sanctify us, that we put our whole trust in Him. I want to ask you this morning that if you do not have that guarantee of that eternal kingdom, are you willing to trade this morning this wretched life for all that God has to offer? Is it worth holding on to? Is it worth keeping? I pray this morning that God has revealed to you the precious kingdom that He has in store for you. The better way that He has, that He's promised all those that trust Him and believe in Him. Would you repent of your sin today and turn from it and change your life? Turn your life over to Him, put your faith in Jesus Christ. The only thing that God looks at as payment in order to grant you access to His kingdom is the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do about that. He's already done it. But you can go get that blood and carry it to Him to offer it. Do you believe it? Do you accept it? Father, I thank You this morning, God, for Your Word. Pray, God, that You'd use Your Word to glorify Yourself and exalt the name of Your Son, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, this morning that You would help us forgive me of all the many, many, many times, God, that I do not trust You and I fail to trust You and I put my confidence, my trust in so many other things other than where it belongs in You. You've proven Yourself to me so many times I have logically no reason to doubt. Forgive me and sanctify me, God, that I would trust You, that I would fully commit all my ways to You. Lord, that no matter what I'm faced with, God, that I would not grow weary or stressed, or that it would in any way affect me other than just to fully trust You, knowing, God, that it's in Your hands, God, and it's under Your control. Lord, help me not to be distracted, I pray. Sanctify my mind, that I'm not distracted by earthly and material things, God. Lord, that the enjoyment that I draw from those things is anchored and rooted in You and Your provision. And let me glory in You, Father. I thank You for all that You give and provide. And Lord, I pray that my heart will not be wanting after things that do not profit, Lord, things that do not benefit the kingdom of heaven. But Lord, let my heart be in Your Word and the growing of Your kingdom. And I pray, God, that's where my treasure would be. And for each and every one here, I pray, God, that we would have our treasures there and that we would place the greatest importance on things above and not things below. I thank You, Lord, for loving us and being good to us. Thank You for dying on Calvary for our sins. Help us to live for You. Lord, help us to exalt You, to do Your will, and to be obedient always. It's in the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Amen. Rich Matthew, you want to come lead us in a song? We'll take up an offering. for Susie and Lacey. Like I said, they've come before. This is actually the third time they've been with us. So if y'all tell this story, you know, you get back home and you say, we had to get offered twice with the church. We had to convince this church to give us offered twice. You know, just know this. This is the way we look at it. We can convince these people to come join us three times in a row.
Thankful, Lord, for this service this morning. Thankful for the message.